Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, good morning to you. Jetta Cameron and John Ritchie. You know, I had made a point earlier in the week, Eagles-Rams haven't played the Rams here when they've been the L.A. Rams in the playoffs. I was wrong. 89.
Yeah, Randall.
Jim Everett. Randall. Exactly. A disastrous game.
Hart, was it 21-7 or something like that?
21-7. 21-7. That was brutal.
I asked a Pete the Hammer question about that recently. That's how I know. I asked who was the quarterback in that game.
I got it right, I assume?
Yeah. It was Eagles-Rams when we played the Rams before. Yep.
I got you. All right, 215-592-94.
By the way, while I'm talking, I have to jump in here because I saw this last night. And
okay.
I hesitate to even bring this up on the radio because if we get into an area that I don't love. But I have to talk about this tweet,
which means
we have to talk about what you're thinking about in the bathtub. A tweet from Joe DeCamera last night, John.
Oh, no.
I was going to say you'll love this. You'll hate this. This is what Joe tweeted last night. Lying in the bathtub, thinking about how it's amazing.
Hold on. What?
We're tweeting from the bathtub. What are you doing, Joe? Like, in the bathtub, tweeting. Okay.
Thoughts from the tub. Okay.
Lying in the bathtub, thinking about, here's what he's thinking about. How it's amazing we haven't heard from or even seen Rich Kotite in years. It's like the man disappeared. The internet doesn't even seem to have a photo of him after his Jets days in the mid-90s. Wild, almost 30 years. Why are you thinking about Rich Kotite in the bathtub?
I don't know.
What is happening here?
The mind moves. I mean, I don't know. I was reading a book.
And then you compelled to tweet from the tub telling people you're in the tub thinking about Rich Kotite.
Dude, I was in the tub for like 2 hours yesterday. It's all right. Ugh. Nothing wrong with that.
You are
2 hours?
Normally about an hour reading and then about an hour flipping through my phone.
So infuriating.
Sometimes I make some phone calls.
Horrifying, upsetting.
Do people know you're calling from the tub?
Well, they can hear the water sometimes. Oh, I don't do it too often. I can't make any serious calls, from the tub, obviously.
Yeah, obviously, of course. Why not?
You hear the water.
Why?
Instead, you'll tweet to your thousands of followers.
Because everyone could hear that you're in the tub.
Yeah, splash
and
in.
So you'd be embarrassed or something? Is that what you're saying? Why can't you make calls?
You can tweet. No problem
I
tweeting.
I can tweet. Uh-huh. Some calls require a certain degree of reverence.
Who are you talking
to? I don't know, but I'm just saying sometimes I know I got to get out of the tub.
The person on the other side, you need to dignify the call with the fact that you're seated or clothed.
Yeah, it'd be like if you had an apology, if you apologized to someone, but you're eating a hoagie during it. Some things just don't go together. That's
it
all
feels
I'm saying.
A little less.
Yeah, you know what doesn't go together? Rich Kotite in the bathtub.
But it is amazing. I looked at the internet yesterday. No photos. It's nothing.
Wow, that's
30 years. Like, there's no one's got a photo of him at the age of 75 just buying groceries. Like, I don't know. Pretty big.
Not a social media guy.
Yeah. So not a big social.
But, I mean, the internet has photographs of everybody. Like, there's no photographs of Rich Kotite since the start of the internet. Mid-90s. How's that possible? Good morning to you.
Well, it coincides with his age. he's 82 now.
I'm just saying the man disappeared. That was all my point was. The man disappeared.
I do think it's a little bit interesting.
Yeah,
your credit.
That's all I'm saying.
The way that
I am looking right now, you're right. Right?
There's nothing.
Yeah,
I think somebody reached out to him recently, if I recall.
Sounds familiar.
Sielski, that's it. And he declined.
Yeah, well, the wife declined, I think, for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, so, it's just a point. By the way, I do like this idea of thoughts from the tub. I might make that a regular tweet. Oh, just putting that out
only
there.
Only you like that idea.
Only you. All right, 215-592-9494. Only Dan in Philadelphia. Good morning, Dan.
I'm so disturbed right now.
You know, thoughts from the top, Dan.
Go out?
Sometimes it's hard to to forget.
Good question, Dan. Let me check what time that text tweet went out. Like that. Oh, great question. Okay,
it was this afternoon.
2:17 p.m.
Yeah.
Joe is laying in the bathtub at 2:17 p.m.
It was about literally about a 2-hour bath. I'm telling you.
Thank God. I got a text from Joe last night, and it would have been really disturbing knowing he was texting while he's in the bathtub.
That was later.
Thank you, Jesus. He does check his burner phone, boys. That's confirmed. But listen, the Rams, right? Like, I'm trying to process this as the week goes on. And yesterday, you know, I was saying we shouldn't be so confident, whatever. I think the win against the Vikings probably upped the perspective of the Rams are really good. Yeah, they're ascending, but they only scored 3 points in the second half, and one of their touchdowns from their points in the first half was a defensive touchdown. So maybe it wasn't as grandiose as we're thinking in our heads about how good the Rams are. Like I said, they're better than they were when they started the season, for sure, but you know, if the Vikings were able to do that in the second half against them,
two other things about Minnesota that I don't think have to do with the Rams per se. One, I think Minnesota probably came in flat after losing to Detroit. That was probably
took their hearts.
Took a lot of wind out of them.
Well, they had also played, I didn't realize it, but going into that game, it was something like 4 out of 5 on the road and their third straight road game.
Gotcha. They look sluggish.
Yeah, so I think that has to play a role.
The other thing I'll say, Dan.
Also playing that huge game against Detroit with all the emotion the week before, too.
The other thing, and this, you know, the Rams deserve credit for this, but this is also a discredit to Minnesota. I thought Minnesota basically choked in that when they got, it reminded me of Dallas last year. When they got down early in the playoffs, you know, I'm saying Dallas last year, Minnesota the other day, they allowed it to avalanche on them.
They had no counterpunch.
They didn't. Like
when they kept turning over.
They were shell shocked. That's my point.
Felt like Kevin O'Connell, as a former quarterback himself, almost took on the quarterback, like, seeing ghosts mentality as the play caller.
Yeah,
he got so locked in almost stubbornly into, we're going to keep doing this the way we're doing it because we're going to be who we are. Yeah. And by the way, no one's blocking it right. And your quarterback needs help right now, man. You got to like scrap the game plan, hand the ball off, get back to just like Sam, like actually what we're going to see from Stafford.
Well, the
like,
problem
get it
is they couldn't even run it though when they had to. I mean, they couldn't do anything.
Yeah,
call some screen passes, call something. Yeah,
kilter.
Go ahead, Dan.
I also think the Rams were highly emotional, you know, due to the wildfire situation and stuff in L.A. So they were playing for with a lot of emotions as well.
Sure, I think that's absolutely a big contributing factor.
My confidence is growing a little more than it was. I mean, obviously, I think we're going to win, but it's my confidence is getting a little stronger as the week goes on, as I process this. But I think it's a win.
All right. Well, I've been confident the whole time. Dan, who deserves the crown?
Joe, you know, you're always confident. No matter what you do, you're great at everything you do.
I wasn't confident in the Sixers last night.
You're great. You're great at everything you do, man. It's 2025.
Well,
I told you. I'm going to compliment you every day. Things in my waist.
I appreciate that.
Are you really, Dan?
Yeah, John, I've been. That was my New Year's resolution.
And you know he really believes it because he just decided he's going to do it. You know?
It does feel insincere to me. Yeah, it feels like you're making me.
I can't control how you feel. All I can control is what I do. You know, so
boy, that was a Yodaism right there. That was profound.
But what he told you, Jalen Hurts, is not having the desired effect.
I can't help that, John. You know.
All right, Dan, I need an answer. Other than me, who deserves a crown?
The 76ers ownership. I crown them as the worst Philadelphia ownership of sports teams in the history of our city.
You know, that's an interesting answer because they are in Norman Brayman territory for totally different reasons.
I literally said this on my pod with Elliot yesterday.
Rhea, who's worse? Now, very different circumstances. Brayman wouldn't spend money. These guys do spend money. Brayman is why a lot of the great players left. These guys we can't stand. Who's worse?
We didn't have a lot of hope for Brayman. So I'm going to go with what these guys did with, you know, in my view, the outrageous tanking to trying to like force this arena down there to letting him be do whatever he wants.
To owning the Washington football team.
And the Devils. And let's not forget about the Devils.
I know.
I think they're way worse.
I do too. I think they're a worse steward.
That's a good word.
Yeah. You know, like trust of the fan base of, you know, you own our team and treat it and treat us with respect. Yeah, I think they are worse. Yeah. And that's saying something.
Well, especially because
that
now,
is saying something.
Especially because now there is more ways to call them out for being worse. There are more ways to point out that they're being worse.
Yeah.
And you would think that that would cause people to change the way they do things.
Well, there's that too. I agree.
Has Daryl Morey been found yet?
It's a great question. It is. Well, good morning to you. To the sounds of Robert Plant and Jimmy Page and Zeppelin. Getting ready for a playoff game, another one. Eagles and the Rams coming up on Sunday afternoon. By the way, we're looking for the next 2 days, I mean today and tomorrow, that is, time's yours calls. Get us hyped for an Eagles playoff game. Get us frickin' hyped. The time's yours line, 215-238-4500. If you get a chance, you know, today at some point, get us hype, 215-238-4500. The best hype times yours, Eagles, Rams, playoff preview calls will make the program 9:45 either today or tomorrow. All right, John,
I'm looking through the pictures of Rich Kotite that I can find online.
Are they still the
and
old
there's
ones?
One with the same exact starter jacket that Brandon Graham was wearing yesterday, two days ago.
But the old original.
Yeah,
the original. Listen, that was a classic.
The same one, and it really does take you back.
If you got that for Christmas, that was like a huge deal.
That was in the 90s. That was a huge, early 90s, I think, especially. That was a big part of, you know.
I'll say.
Certainly our area, I imagine the whole nation. All right, so. And unfortunately, we saw too many Cowboys jackets back then, but that's a whole nother matter.
and Miami Dolphins.
And there was some of that. Yeah.
They love the colors.
Charlotte Hornets.
Charlotte Hornets. They got Alonzo, Johnson, they had the teal, and the whole deal.
I grew up, it's a confluence of the Washington team and the Baltimore team.
Well, you're in a weird part of PA.
Philadelphia. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
I like how you just casually said that.
It's not weird. It's just different. It's 90 miles west of here. And there, when you're right on 81, it goes down to Baltimore, goes down to 90, down to DC, taking 95. Like, you can get to all these places in a jiffy
from
central PA.
That's right. All right, so let me ask this question, John. So snow is apparently likely for Sunday during the game.
How much?
Well, not a ton, but enough that it can impact footing and all that.
Yeah, they moved it up. It was supposed to be later in the day, and they've moved it up to
around 2:30
game time.
Yeah, they're saying about an hour before kickoff. So first off, let me play some audio of Rex Ryan
that the tarp will be off and the guys will be out there on the field. So it will actually affect the footing a lot more than it would if it were even an hour early.
That's interesting. All right, so let's listen to Rex Ryan, John, and then I want to get your reaction. By the way, Jason Kelce in about 10 minutes joins the show. Here is Rex Ryan yesterday talking, and he's talking about his dad, Buddy Ryan, and snow and football. Here's what Rex Ryan said.
My dad used to say, hey, when the snow flies, man, the most physical team wins. Philly, slam dunk.
All right,
love
John.
That. Let's go.
Yeah, is that
agree.
Accurate?
I totally agree. When you've got the footing compromised, the defense, man, you can push them around just a little bit more. When you've heard the term on skates, you get a guy on skates, you're pushing him around, he's on his heels, you dig in, he's moving backwards against his will. It just feels like you can do that a little easier when there's snow and there's ice and there's a little bit of a slippery footing situation. The run game works. The run game works this time of year. People say that all the time. That's what matters most. Man, give me a little snow, especially for a team from the West Coast, a team that's not at all accustomed to inclemency and the cold. And the way your hands feel, the way your hands stick, everything is affected by the temperature change. But then you add the precipitation, the fact that there's ice falling from the sky and sitting on the ground, it makes it just that much different, completely different than what they've experienced. I can't imagine them being physically prepared for the cold. you know, you do get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
Just like as a football player, it takes the first week of camp where you're absolutely miserable, just getting your body into like football, like your nerves deaden down or something. You know how it is for cold, too.
I do.
When cold first starts, it really is almost the same concept in my mind. You've got to feel the cold. You've got to resist the cold. You got to get used to the cold a little bit, just like you got to get used to the hitting at the start of a season. Now, I feel like I can go outside with my jacket, and yeah, it's uncomfortable, but it's not as frigid and horrendous as it was when the season first started.
Sure, of course.
They're going to be, it's their first step out into the freezing cold of this winter season.
It's upper 60s in LA right now.
Yeah, and to to John's point, looking at their schedule, they have played one game since December started that could have been in cold weather. They played the Jets on December 22nd. Every other game was either indoors or somewhere where it wasn't cold.
But after the Bucks in 02, I'll never be as confident again.
That's not the only reason, but it does matter.
No,
I agree. It's not nothing.
Look, we saw Miami last year in Buffalo in a playoff game.
Wanted nothing to do. It was Kansas City. And they wanted nothing to do with it.
All right, John, let me just...
It's harder to catch the ball. Yeah. It's harder to hit people. Everything hurts a little bit more. It will affect this team.
All right, let me give you a flip side argument I've heard through the years. Tell me if you put stock in this. Because you're giving me two main things. And I love it. I love what you're saying. Two main things, advantage Eagles snow. One, physical team, and of course the Eagles are that. That's what Rex Ryan and you just said. And the other, being used to it and the impact there. I've heard through the years,
And we're practicing outside again. I
being
love that Nick
it.
Is doing that.
Yeah.
He's taken the guys where we, under Andy, would have been in the indoor facility.
Ooh, a rip of Andy Reid.
We would have been.
John just ripped this. Let's go.
John just ripped Andy Reid,
ladies and
gentlemen.
Potential Super Bowl opponent. All right? Potential enemy again.
Coach Reid. Yeah, but this is Richie now. He worships at the altar of Coach Reid.
Not at all.
Just have a little fun.
I prefer what Nick is doing. I love that he's taking him outside.
Praise of Nick.
This is great. What a momentous day.
It's a turn, not a heel turn, but some kind of turn. All right, John, let me give you one flip side I've heard through the years. Tell me.
Baby face turn? Is that the opposite?
True or not? That, and I'm not talking cold, I'm talking snow, which can overlap, but snow's different than just a normal cold day. That
snow is less cold.
All right, tell me if this is true or not. Snow favors the lesser team because wacky things can happen. True or false?
I don't think so. Wacky things happen. Why does that favor the lesser?
Well, you can.
Evens the playing field.
Well, here's why. One of two ways. It could bounce our way also.
Well, players slip, and if you have a better team, you'd rather not have players slip. And, like, my guy slips more than your guy, and, like, you get a touchdown, you wouldn't have got it.
Eagles pass rush in the Super Bowl.
Well, that's an example.
Anything that levels the playing field, when one team's better, if you're on a neutral field, they would dominate.
Do you buy into that at all, John?
No.
And James, it sounds like you buy a little bit.
I do a little bit.
I do, too.
Yeah. I do. Now, I think the what John's talking about, the positives for the Eagles could mitigate that
or
outweigh it.
I agree with that.
But I absolutely think that if you're the better team, you want it to just be a normal game with a normal weather, and you're just better.
That's what I think. But John's points are compelling as well.
We're a normal team. We're just better. We're just better in the snow.
I agree.
We're just better
in
the regular. I think
more things can go wrong, is Joe's point.
Yeah, we'll see.
Even more substantially because of the way we play.
Eagles and Rams in 3 days. By the way, 8 o'clock today, we're going to give you a name. And with that name, you can... you can win tickets on our program tomorrow at 8 o'clock. So we've been doing this Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. You need to hear the name that we say today at 8 o'clock and then tuck that name away and be ready to call tomorrow at 8 to say the name and names that have been said. And with those names, you can win tickets to the Eagles and the Rams on Sunday.
Kind of a big game, courtesy of our partners at NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
All right, so listen at 8 o'clock today. Let's go to Joe in New Jersey right now. Jason Kelsey will join us shortly. Good morning, Joe.
Team WIT, what a great pleasure to be on the morning show with you guys.
Our pleasure, sir.
Joe, here's one for you. I think you should invite Sirianni to that basketball shooting foul contest that you're in. And imagine after you beat him every week, you could hold it over his head.
So, look.
Joe's afraid. What was the acronym that you used at the start there? You used those letters?
Me or Joe the caller?
Joe the caller. Joe caller.
What did I say?
He didn't use an acronym.
I thought you used letters like T-O-I-T or something like that. What was that?
Team W-I-P.
Yeah, WIP.
Oh,
it's our radio station, John.
I think I just had a Joe to camera moment where I heard something completely different than what you were trying to say. Holy cow, thank you.
So, Joe, here's the problem with inviting Sirianni to the free throw contest. I got too much respect for him to whip his ass.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, my God.
All right? Because, I mean, let's be real. He wouldn't beat me in a free throw contest. I mean, come on.
Yeah, he said he was mid-80s.
I took a shot 2 weeks ago at Sirianni's basketball.
Yes, it was outrageous then. It's outrageous
during
now.
During the interview with him, I'm like, you wouldn't beat me in a free throw. I mean, come on. I mean,
why would you even say that when you don't know?
Because I do know.
You think you're good at shooting free throws.
I am.
Not basketball.
The concept that I could lose. Look,
what makes you think he's automatically worse than you?
Because I'm me.
Mm. And he's
there's that.
Also, yeah,
guys, I just beat Harold Jensen and N'Kobe Dean. Like, I was storming through the competition in March. Anyway, Joe, go ahead. What do you got on this game,
N'Kobe
Joe?
N'Kobe Dean didn't play basketball.
I got something great on this game, but I want to show John a little love before I give you my quick analysis.
Okay.
John, you ready? I want to clear the air.
Okay.
It is true that I gave you that great nickname, Blockhead.
Oh, good.
I also did say you had a great face for radio, and I also did say that you had better chance of getting struck by lightning than dating Devin. I'm going to put that all to the side and let you know I think you're an extremely talented man, and you've been grappling with something the whole year, and I just wanted to help you with it. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Sirianni is Jim Jones. His whole team has drank the Kool-Aid, okay? He has them all locked in, and they're following his message. I think you grapple with the point where he's like not a great X's and O's coach, and you're probably right with that. And I think he needs the pieces around him. Okay?
Joe, by the way, Joe, I like your thing, except for a very negative analogy in human history. I just want to put
I wouldn't want to compare Nick to Jim Jones personally.
There's other ways to say that he inspires people and that they follow his lead. How about George Washington? Right? Okay. How about that guy?
Joe, you want to know something?
Sure.
I'll just segue into that. That's my answer. My answer is George Washington on the crown.
No way.
So you just segued into my answer.
What?
George Washington.
You got to be kidding.
But that's a terrible answer.
Why?
Because we broke away from England to not have a king.
Well,
that's why. That's why it's my answer. They wanted to make him king.
Oh, because he didn't choose to be king.
Yeah, because he didn't choose to be king.
This is
figurative. Look, I get both of your...
It's one of the most consequential decisions in American history.
It is,
I think it's ridiculous to say to give him a crown.
He absolutely does deserve
it. It's funny. I think it's funny.
Yeah.
All right, Joe.
Washington, here we go. Joe, let me give you my theory here. The Eagles, we turned this team from a soft, weak team into a physical team. Okay.
Yeah, that's true.
Nolan Smith knocked out their right tackle with one of the fiercest hits I've ever seen.
You're right.
We're gonna run the ball, Joe. We're gonna run this team into submission. By the time they get into the third or fourth quarter, they're gonna be gassed. Our offensive line is gonna dominate those weak tackles.
I agree with you.
Don't worry about all this other stuff. Everybody's worried. I'm telling you. This team is physical. I'm so proud of this team. This, you know, Jason's coming on. I felt terrible for Jason last year that he had to go out that way.
Yeah, that was tough.
The way San Francisco crushed us, okay, they took our soul. Now we're taking souls. We took Green Bay's soul. Now we take the Rams' soul, and we're going to take Detroit's soul. And then whoever wins for that AFC, we're going to take their soul. Okay.
All right, Joe. Listen, phenomenal phone call, man. I love it. Let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day. We're giving away Metallica tickets today when people call in, but also trying to figure out who wins the Metallica tickets from yesterday with a Twitter poll question today. Actually, a series of questions brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin is offering huge savings on every leftover 2024 Chevrolet remaining in inventory. Together, let's drive ArminChevy.com. So we had 9 different answers that we put into the semifinals for what's the most iconic photo ever. Answers that came from listeners yesterday on the show. All right, John, 6 o'clock hour poll. We got to close it out. 3 photos trying to figure out which is the most iconic. Let's all go on the record where we personally stand. From last hour, the choices were Earthrise, which is the Apollo 8 photograph of Earth, first time Earth was ever photographed. And it's a beautiful photo. Second choice, JFK Jr. saluting his father's casket, 63 at the funeral. Third choice, Michael Jordan hanging in the air and I believe that's from the 88 dunk contest. Rhea, which would you choose?
JFK Jr.
Seltzer?
I would choose Earthrise.
Richie?
Michael stepped way over the line. The JFK Jr., yes, it is. It's, man, it really pulls at the heartstrings. But Earthrise is one of the most incredible photos I can even comprehend. It's the first from space of our planet. What an amazing looking photo. That's got to win. Okay, it's got to win this hour.
I'd go Earthrise as well. John, which did the listeners go with on social media?
I think Earthrise dominated.
JFK Jr.
No
yes.
one.
It's outrageous.
Impossible. It's a big one. It's a big one.
It is.
I mean, we had a fallen U.S. president and his son, who I think was three.
He was young. I think he might slightly. Was he three?
I don't know. He was very young.
It was touching.
JFK Jr., 47% of the vote, 31 for Earthrise, 22 for Michael Jordan hanging in the air. Oh. All right. So JFK Jr., that photo goes to the finals. That'll be in the 9 o'clock hour. Here is the poll that we open up right now. As our second poll, three different iconic photos. The Marines raising the flag at Iwo Jima. Big one. Martin Luther King, I Have a Dream speech photograph. Big one. And the Hindenburg disaster. Another big one.
Oh, the humanity.
Oh, the humanity indeed. All right. Get voting at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. One of those three will advance to the finals, which we'll do in the 9 o'clock hour. All right, Jason Kelce joins us every single Thursday at this time. And, of course, we especially love it when it's entering a playoff game. Eagles and the Rams, the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. And Jason is always brought to us by Garage Beer. The garage always open, light beer like it used to be and is still with Garage Beer. Find Garage Beer at your local retailer or at drinkgaragebeer.com. Once again, that website, drinkgaragebeer.com. Official beer of the Kelce brothers and dads everywhere. We welcome Jason back to the show. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Joe. How we doing?
Good, bud. Excited? I'm very excited. And you know what, Jason? I am very confident. I wouldn't say supremely confident, but very confident the Eagles will take care of business versus the Rams. And, you know, we're trying to figure out today if we're actually a little overconfident. Because I will say this. We probably are.
Yeah.
But I kind of don't care because I just, that's how confident I am, if that makes sense. that, you know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah. No, I think if you feel like you're overconfident, you're probably overconfident. that's how it works. Yeah. I think, I mean, this is a really good team. I mean, we're in the divisional round of the playoffs, and this is one of the best weekends of football that there is because everybody left is good and anybody has a chance to win. But I do agree. I think Philadelphia is the more talented team. Yeah. I think that they should win this game. It's at the link, and the Rams had a fantastic game against the Vikings. But for sure, I definitely think that the Eagles win this game.
You know what I'd frame, based on what you just said, because I agree with you, all eight teams are good. Not all eight teams are great.
Yeah.
And there's five great teams left. It's the 1 and 2 seeds in both conferences plus Baltimore. They're the five teams that are left that are great. Then there's the other three teams.
Yeah.
And the Rams are one of the other three teams. But they are a lot better than they have. So how much better are they than 2 months ago when the Eagles and Rams played?
They're a lot better. I mean, they dealt with a lot of injuries early on in the season. Obviously, they had some things going on with Puka and across at their skill positions, but their offensive line was really banged up. And as they've gotten healthier, they've also been young on the defensive side of the ball. They're playing really, really good right now, especially up front. So they're an improved team for sure. And I think they're clicking on all cylinders right now, especially after that Vikings game. You know, they had the last week where they kind of rested some starters. I thought that they looked just head and shoulders fresher than the Vikings. I mean, they played fast, and it was a really, really good performance for them.
How worried should Rams fans be that the emotion runs out? You know, they got a lot going on.
Yeah, of course.
It does feel like they got a lot of adrenaline, and you could see it in the wild card round. At some point, I'm going to assume that's hard to maintain, and I hope it runs out soon. I hope it runs out at some point during the next few quarters that they're playing against us. What are the odds of that? I mean, how hard is it to maintain the playoff emotion?
Well, I mean, for one day a week, it's not that hard. I think, you know, if you're trying to maintain it throughout the course of the week and, you know, over a course of a couple weeks, it's very difficult. I think that, you know, what they have going on over there can be a very galvanizing force, and I think we saw that a little bit against the Vikings. I also think it was, quite frankly, just they had rest from a week before, and the Vikings played a very physical game against the Lions the week before, and I thought that the Rams just looked so much faster and so much just like fresh legs, especially up front on the defensive line, where that makes a huge difference. Their D-line was getting all over the place. Everybody was getting sacks.
There were like eight guys with at least half a sack.
So it was a very dominant performance by that D-line. I think a lot of that can be attributed just quite frankly to the rest, but also to the galvanizing force that's happening in L.A. as well.
So how different is it playing Jalen Hurts compared to playing Sam Darnold for that defense? The way that they played Sam Darnold, when we saw 2 weeks in a row, Sam Darnold got housed.
Yeah.
If defenses try to man it up and do that same thing to Jalen, I feel like Jalen will tear their guts out as they run with their backs to him. He'll be running for first downs. How much validity do you think goes into that?
I think most teams struggle to play man against us for multiple reasons. I think part of it is what you just said, where the back is turned, and if Jalen decides to run, if he breaks through that initial defensive line structure, he has a lot of space. I also think they have really good receivers and a lot of other things that make it difficult to play man. So, the problem that the Rams are going to have is, I think if they're going to want to stop the run game, they're going to have to contribute another safety to the box. And if they do that, they're going to leave guys out on the outside exposed in one-on-one situations. So I just think it's I think they're going to be in a lot of trouble in multiple ways. And they're a very good team. I just think our offensive line is much better than the Vikings is. I think that Sam, we saw the last couple weeks, something that, was probably a weakness all year was that, he can hold on to the ball and people, if you get pressure on him, can get, make some plays. And unfortunately, that was the way their season ended for the Vikings. But I just don't think we're at all the same team. I feel very confident that our offensive line is going to protect much better. And I feel very confident with all the weapons we have.
You think rust impacted Jalen last game, Jason?
I think a little bit. I'd also think, I think that's a difficult defense that we've kind of struggled with that structure before.
The Green Bay defense?
Yeah, they play a very similar defense this year to what San Francisco has done in the past. And those are, for whatever reason, it feels like the points and kind of how we've operated has been limited against those style of defenses. I think that the rust definitely plays a factor, but I don't think we ran block particularly well either. I know the run game was better, but I thought there was more to be had across the board offensively, to be honest with you. So I don't think it's fair to just put it on Jalen. I think that there was a number of things everyone could have done better. I think from a game plan standpoint, I'm sure the coaches feel that they could have done better. So I think that there's a lot of things that could have gone better offensively.
So
defensively, about as good as you can do.
That was phenomenal. That was unbelievable.
The coverage and everything else. I mean, we're worried about how losing your green dot affects the coverage about how, in the middle of the field where it does feel like they're going to try to take advantage. Yeah, with N'Kobe out.
And N'Kobe not only was having an outstanding game. I mean, he was balling out before the injury happened, so that was, that's really, really unfortunate. I do think, there have been guys in and out at that linebacker position all year, and it feels like guys have gone in, and it hasn't been a detriment. Even if they're not to the same caliber, it feels like the defense is still held true. So I feel pretty confident, but I understand that's a good point. Yeah.
When did Nolan Smith start dominating people? Because it seems like we as fans kind of missed that. If there was a turning point in this season,
like a month or two ago,
I'm trying to remember who they were playing.
He just clobbers everybody.
He does.
There is a Nolan's a little bit undersized, right? And that was the big knock on him. And I think it's hard when you have an undersized end to set the edge. That's what I think is the real weakness with an undersized. Like, if we see an undersized edge, I'm telling Stout, hey, let's motion a double tight end over here and run outside zone to him, because if he can't set the edge, they cannot stop this play, right? Yeah. If you can do that as an undersized guy, you're also a mismatch a little bit in passing situations, because those tackles aren't built to block guys with that type of quickness.
Yep.
And that's where you have the Von Millers and all these guys that are smaller, but they play bigger and they present a number of mismatches for these bigger lumbering tackles.
Yep.
I think when you see Nolan, especially the past 2 months, he has been so physical at the point of attack to the point where he just throws his body in there. And like, I remember him taking a counter on and he collapses the edge because you know that that double team is trying to create space between the edge and a hole right there where they kick out. He collapses that space and then cuts the tackle, which messes up the tight end trying to pull around that.
Oh, so
that, condenses
totally,
the whole
right.
thing, accordions it. And I think there's ways to play big as a smaller guy, and he's figured it out. And I think he's doing a fantastic job right now in that aspect. And it's allowed him to be on the field more, and now he's having more production in the pass game and all these other things.
Well, that's a huge deal, too. With the play that you're describing, a huge part of what we do, the power, the counter concept, yes. You've got one puller, and then you've got a second puller who has to get in phase mm-hmm. with that first puller. So when Nolan Smith blows up that first puller, yeah. he's not only dominating his matchup, but he's winning someone else's matchup for them, because that guy who's the puller who's supposed to be in phase with the guy who blocked Nolan yeah. is now completely taken out of the play.
And it's a completely unselfish way to play, and that's the way this whole defense is playing. I mean, you're basically a kamikaze at that point. Like, it's like, I'm just going to wreak as much havoc as I can so that somebody else can scrape over the top and make the play.
Love it.
Amazing.
He's doing fantastic.
All right, John, real quick, the ultimate Eagles kamikaze.
Brandon Short, right?
Jason Short.
Jason Short.
1,000%.
Brandon Short was a player also, though, from
Cal. Was he a giant, maybe?
Brandon Short was a giant.
Yeah.
Jason, this is about 10 years before you. There was this guy named Jason Short.
Yeah.
The old punt return when you could have, what, a wall, John?
The wedge.
The wedge,
right?
Yeah.
The wedge.
He would be the guy that would bust the wedge. He would just go
full
down there.
Full Throttle was his nickname.
How crazy.
Full Throttle.
I think about that because I actually was going to do like a fullback bit and a kickoff return, like wedge unit bit for the late show. Because I wanted to be, I wanted to pay an ode to like all of these guys that had like the crappiest jobs ever in the NFL.
We were, as a fullback, you were doing your fullback thing. You were running
on the
ball
wedge
45 times lead ISO per game.
Yes.
But you're also the wedge. Every kickoff return, you're setting the wedge.
I played with Owen Schmidt. I had a fullback for 2 years in Philly. And I just remember him a couple years ago saying, like, how crazy is it? We used to run back.
Yeah.
Link arms like a human wall.
Yes.
And then somebody behind you would say,
I think,
go!
Exactly.
He would just run down the field.
Yeah. And you would run as fast and hard as you could, and you would just kill anything that came in front of you.
Yeah.
But yeah, you would link. I think it must have been illegal to link arms, but every team did it.
Yeah, right.
We were linked up. It was like Red Rover.
Yeah, exactly. And it was like a schoolyard game just with like giant men who are way too big and powerful to be doing this.
Oh,
and then
on
the other side, there was just like a human missile whose job it was to take out as many of these guys as possible.
Yeah.
And then the NFL's like, all right, no more of that.
Yeah, but probably not the best plan. Human bowling is probably not the way to go.
It was wild.
We learned that was unsafe.
It was my favorite part of the special teams meeting the next, like, there was always the day after the game, and everybody in the special teams meeting was just so geared up to see, like, what kind of mayhem happened on this play in the game.
Yeah. Well, I'll just say this quickly, and then right to the calls. The best, John, you'll remember this, first Cleveland in 04. When Jason, and it's a shame, he gets a concussion on one of those plays. He's down for like 5 to 7 minutes. Everybody's concerned about him. He gets up after the commercial break and just starts screaming at the Cleveland bench.
It's like Rod Tidwell. It's like Rod Tidwell. It's the real life Rod Tidwell right there.
Yeah. Unbelievable. All right. Yeah. Got a lot of calls. Jason with us for an hour. Of course, big playoff game coming up on Sunday. In 10 minutes, 8 o'clock, we give you a name. And with that name, you can win tickets to the Eagles-Rams game. And, of course, you can win those tickets tomorrow. You got to listen. In 10 minutes, 8 o'clock for a name. And we look forward to giving away the tickets.
And courtesy of NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
But I also want to get to some A.J. Brown audio this segment and more. We'll get Jason's thoughts on playing in the snow, which, of course, he most famously did as a pro athlete. Of course, maybe college and high school, but as a pro athlete versus Detroit in 2013. So we'll get to that shortly. Tom in Dover. Tom, good morning, buddy.
Good morning, everybody.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, listen, Joe, I just came in from walking. I was telling you, and I must have was on delay or something, because I heard about you calling people from the tub last night and I thought you called me from the dome.
No, I called you from the car.
That's a slap in the face, man.
Tom, I was
dirty, Tom.
He was naked talking to you.
I was fully clothed.
I doubt that. I got to apologize because while I was waiting for my turn, I checked Jimmy, and he called me at 5:36, so he couldn't have gotten in the tub that early.
No, it was an afternoon tub yesterday, and I talked to you more late, 7 o'clock or so.
I guess he felt an afternoon tubby.
It was actually.
I guess he felt bad. I guess he felt bad, so he checked his burner phone yesterday, and he probably seen. I've been texting him since Thanksgiving. That's the only.
Look, you texted him. You texted me about a week or so ago, and I got back.
It feels like a lot of people were hurt by your tactics.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah,
burner phone tactics.
You hurt people's feelings.
Well, you know, the other time in my professional existence, I did something that was tactically probably inappropriate. So years ago when I had no Twitter followers, like 100, 1,000.
Oh, I remember when you did this. Yeah. Total jerk move.
Jason, tell me if this is inappropriate.
It is.
Followed.
Yeah.
On Twitter, I followed thousands of Philadelphia sports radio listeners because I could tell they followed prominent sports radio hosts. Okay. So I follow thousands of people.
Yes.
They all follow me back.
Yep.
And then I dropped all of them.
Oh, wow. I mean, it's a great strategy.
Right?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just...
It's so dishonest.
It's so rude. It's so rude. The excitement that people got, they're like, wow, Joe's following me.
There's just no accountability whatsoever.
Isn't the entirety of social media dishonest?
Good point, Jason.
But isn't this the heart of Machiavelli? The ends justify the means.
Didn't they, though?
Yeah. All right, so, Tom, I feel justified.
Yeah, you're really treating your audience well. That's smart.
All right, Tom, I feel good about it.
Hey, Jason.
What's up, Tom?
I've never got a chance to talk to you as much as I call and I listen to you, but I just want to ask you this one question.
Yeah.
How do you feel about us making this run without you?
Good question.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very much happy for all of the guys there, all the coaches, all of the players. Of course, you know, I'm one season out of it. So I do have some part of me that wishes I could be there and be a part of something like this. But, you know, it was my time. I still feel like I made the right decision. And this is the way it goes. And it's been fortunate that it's happened this quickly for the Eagles. I think that I know so many of those guys so well. I'm really, really happy for them. And, you know, listen, I know I'm not out there playing the game, but to a certain extent, you know, I think that I still have had an impact on Stout and his career and some of these guys in their careers and Cam Jurgens and Jalen Hurts. Like, I was a part of them learning and adjusting and welcoming them to the league, just like I had Todd Harriman's and Evan Mathis and Jason Peters and players do that for me. So in some ways, I feel like I'm still a part of the team, if I'm being quite frank, even though my impact is far, 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 far less.
That's great, Jason. That's cool feel that.
That would be how I feel. You know, obviously would love to be out there with those guys and go into battle, but I think it's more just immense pride that they're getting it done, that the offensive line has played as well as they have. And,
And you sort of set that tradition. I mean, you've played a huge part in creating the offensive line tradition here in Philadelphia.
Of course, no question. All right, Tom, give me an answer real quick, Tom.
I think that far preset me. I think that Andy Reid and a lot of people, and anyways, yeah.
Huge part for you, though.
Tom, who deserves a crown?
Hey, listen to this, Jay.
Hit me.
Forget that crown that John is talking about. I mean, that Joe's talking about. Get that mummer suit out.
All right.
Get that mummer suit out. We're going to do it again.
All right, Tom. Good work, buddy. Love it. Love it. You know, Jason, I was just thinking there when you were giving that answer. Thank God you won one, and obviously credit to you and the guys.
Right.
You would probably view this very different if you didn't. And I got to imagine Connor Barwin. Like, 2016, he's an Eagle. 2017, he's not. Right. That's got to be tough on guys like that.
I think it is a little bit. I mean,
because he didn't have one. You have one. He didn't get one.
I think both things can be true, though. I think Connor was genuinely happy for me and all the guys that he played with. And I think, of course, he misses out.
Yeah.
You know, that he wasn't there for that. But I think that, you know, I don't think that it has to be one thing or the other.
Yeah.
And I think that I'm probably in a similar boat here. And I think that that's okay, right? You can be happy and also, you know, man, I wish I was out there as well. Like, I don't think it has to be one or the other.
No, I'm with you.
Exclusive.
I think it does help that I've won one for sure. You know, I know that, I mean, I think there was like, there's reports or something out there, like when guys got hurt our Super Bowl year, there were guys that were like upset about not being out there, right? And I think that that's very natural and very much a human emotion. But I think at the end of the day, you also feel good for your teammates.
That's great.
The guys that are out there.
So here's a random NFL storyline, a little under the radar, but we should bring it up because it ties into the Eagles this year and the Giants and all that. Hard Knocks might not have offseason Hard Knocks again. This could be one and done. Yeah. So the Saquon thing, there's an NFL Films vice president that was on record on TV yesterday saying no teams are stepping up right now.
Yeah.
And the Saquon, Joe Shane phone call and John Mara, like,
you got to think that probably has.
That's a wrap, folks.
It's probably made some GMs nervous about
owners, too, I would think.
Totally.
Yeah.
I think Can you imagine?
Yeah,
if totally. That, I mean, this what they consider superfluous production team who comes in from the outside gets you fired like that. That's very
wild, man.
Although Joe Shane, like I think Joe Shane did get fired.
I think they've
did not, right?
Did not. No, they kept him. They kept Joe Shane.
Yeah,
that's the fear. You know,
of course.
He came really close.
Yeah, and just that, but also just an overall embarrassment.
That's the thing.
Yeah, and them look like fools.
Yes.
And then, you know, is there some type of competitive advantage that they're always worried about when any of this stuff is happening? I mean, I thought it was absolutely awesome. And it was an interesting look into the front office, which had not really been covered before. But obviously, the Saquon thing was a big negative for the Giants. So I could see why other teams would be hesitant.
Totally.
Yeah.
And also, I'll just say the methodology of Joe Shane on that, maybe it was one phone call, maybe it was two with Saquon. I thought it was, I don't know if inappropriate is the right term. I'll just say uncool, and other athletes could see it and say, because John, he was giving him the line, like, can I have your word? Can I have your word? And by the way, he's like, if you really want to be a Giant for life, then come back.
Right.
Like, it's like, dude, don't throw that at me.
Right, right.
Yeah, that's
not
cool.
It was his negotiating tactic or whatever it was. The way he was coming across was incredible. It felt inappropriate. It felt, I don't know if that's even the right word, like no one could respect him as much after seeing that.
Yeah, that's what I think.
It was a behind-closed-doors situation.
Totally.
That, man, it makes it tough for any front office member to want to do this ever again.
There's this weird thing. Well, not weird, but, like, you know, football is obviously just this intense game of teamwork and togetherness and everyone on the same page, and it's the ultimate team game that there is. And what Hard Knocks first exposed, I mean, I still remember when it was the Cincinnati Bengals, and they have Jim Limpincott walks into the dorm room and cuts the guy right there. And it was like the first eye-opening experience for me as like a football player, like, oh my gosh, like these guys like do not matter to some of these people upstairs. And I think this like front office version of that is like another level of that, where it's like, you have conversations like this where it's like, man, this is clearly like just a negotiating tactic. Mm-hmm. And that's the reality of it. That's what happens when you're trying to build a roster. If you're a good GM, you're going to utilize tactics. You're going to try and find ways to maximize value.
Yeah.
And it's an unfortunate side to be public sometimes,
yeah,
I think.
Totally. Sometimes it's unseemly.
Yeah.
And that's what this was.
But a fascinating for the fans
forever,
to watch.
Like,
fascinating.
I mean, it could not have asked for better content.
Really could have.